This is Week in Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The United States and our allies pledged to act if the dictator did not disarm. The regime in Iraq is now learning that we keep our word.
An excerpt from President George W. Bush's radio address earlier today. The Allied campaign in Iraq seems to be extremely fluid at this hour. U.S. troops have been in and out of the city of Baghdad. Our senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
And quite a difference over the past week. Last Saturday, we were talking about a possible respite in the campaign. There was all the open wondering about whether the U.S. and British military needed to rethink their strategy on the ground.
Right.
And now this leap ahead into Baghdad.
It really is quite amazing. It's quite right. A week ago, the question was, do they have enough troops? Should they have had another division? Did they get there early enough? There was criticism from generals active and retired, and a lot of criticism in the media, of course, but the facts on the ground, as you look at it today, are really quite amazing. In this short 16 days, they've made it all the way to Baghdad and briefly into Baghdad, just to sort of show they can do it. If you talked about what's happened in the 16 days, you also have to talk about the things that did not happen. Mm-hmm. They never did seriously dislocate the oil fields. They never did seriously manage to attack from the rear, although the Fedayeen had these suicide people doing that. Nothing terrible has happened, and from the point of view of the people who gamed this thing, some great things have happened.
Scud missiles did not fall on Israel or Jordan.
You can add that.
Which could have widened the conflict.
You can add that.
Or Iran. We do want to note, and certainly need to, the casualties on all sides. Among U.S. troops, 67 now reported dead, 16 missing, 7 captured, according to the Pentagon. British troops, 27 dead, none missing or captured. Of course, the estimate of Iraqi battle and civilian deaths are more difficult to come by. The Iraqi foreign minister says that 1,250 Iraqi civilians have been killed and more than 5,000 wounded.
Right, and we still don't know how many military casualties they had in the first Gulf War. They've never announced it.
No, I've heard quite a few estimates over the time, differing estimates, it must be said. The administration, U.S. and British military planners, were chilled by the notion of urban warfare in
right.
Baghdad. Do you think that is more or less likely to occur as we sit here this morning?
Well, if they do the way they're planning, the way they're doing now, and this thing is sort of unfolding before our eyes, only yesterday one was wondering about what a strategy was for Baghdad, and now it's beginning to unfold itself. Aside from this little foray into Baghdad, it appears now that they're going to go for what the military call a cordon around Baghdad. Mm-hmm. That's to say, instead of going in and trying to plunge in and get involved in an urban war, they do it from outside, exerting a squeeze. They'll let people go through this porous cordon back and forth, but basically they'll be pushing from the outside in, and then assume that at some point what is left of the Saddam regime simply collapses. It's an interesting way of approaching it, but it certainly indicates some sensitivity about trying to avoid, if one can, unnecessary civilian casualties.
Is the war over if and when Baghdad falls, or are there other things that you can see ahead that would call that into question?
Well, it may well be that the war can be called over in any major sense. The question then is whether Saddam Hussein, if he's alive now, is still alive then, whether he controls those special guard divisions that they had talked about, mm-hmm. whether they can mount something like guerrilla warfare and retreat. That remains open. You sort of sit there in wonderment and say, what next, since there have been so many surprises.
Mm-hmm. What about guerrilla campaigns, continuing attacks by paramilitary groups, suicide bombs?
Well, all of those are potential things that could happen. But since we've talked mm-hmm. about so many potential awful things that could happen and haven't, why don't we rest on that for a while?
Is there, I don't necessarily even want to characterize it as a disagreement, although it may be called that certainly by fair judges, over differing opinions on what to do about post-war Iraq?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's going to be the next very serious, and the war that may be fought inside the Pentagon or the State Department may be almost as bad as what's happening now in Baghdad. That's a joke. Yeah. Let me immediately say, because the fact of the matter is that Secretary of State Colin Powell would like to repair the bridges with the outside international community in the first place, France, Germany, Russia, mm-hmm. United Nations in general. The Pentagon seems to be quite clear that the early stage of what happens in Baghdad when the war is over is going to be in the hands of people named by the Pentagon. They're looking at what basically will start out as a military occupation. We'll also, at the same time, have to try to work to get the hearts and minds of the Iraqis, who are mostly wondering now where they are, what life will be, and all the rest of it. But I suspect that we're going to see increasingly another one of the Powell-Rumsfeld battles that have gone so often. There's bound to be a big one on who does Baghdad at the end of this war. The international community, which did not provide the resolution that they wanted, or is this going to be you leave it to us generals?
Mm-hmm. The President and Prime Minister Blair are meeting next week in Belfast.
Yes.
Northern Ireland, and Prime Minister Blair has been outspoken in saying that there is a role for specifically the United Nations.
In point. In fact, the role that now Blair has seemed to carve out for himself is to try to repair the bridges between the United States and the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. He should be wished a lot of luck.
Dan, I think a lot of people want to hear you talk about Pete Arnett.
Peter Arnett.
Peter Arnett gave an interview. He was working for NBC, MSNBC, and National Geographic. He gave an interview to Iraqi state television, and now he's no longer working for NBC and National Geographic. He's working for, I guess, the Daily Mirror in London and Al Arabiya, actually a pan-Arab cable channel.
Well, it's painful to talk about Peter Arnett, because not only because we're talking about our own profession, but we're talking about somebody whom I know and have had some admiration for in Vietnam, where he won a Pulitzer Prize. But then somewhere, he lost his way, I must say. Not because he believes that the war is wrong or bad or isn't being fought right. You can make those judgments. But what he did, what I thought was unacceptable for a reporter, was to be not the interviewer, but the interviewee for Iraqi television, and to say to Iraqi television that Americans were turning against the war because the war wasn't going very well, making himself a propaganda instrument for the Iraqis that went beyond bounds.
Mm-hmm. Was he hoping to gain something in that interview?
Was he hoping to gain? Whenever you butter up people they have to deal with who were the enemy, clearly you're trying to gain something. I don't know if he wanted to get some tremendous scoop. I don't know whether he thought if Saddam Hussein is alive, they would thank him by giving him the first big exclusive interview with Saddam Hussein. Those are all unknowable things. There are things reporters do to try to be on good terms with those who can provide them with what they need, but there have to be limits. Mm-hmm.
This week, the House and Senate voted to provide almost $80 billion for the war in Iraq and anti-terrorism measures at home. This is, we are told on good authority, probably not the final price tag for this war, but an initial installment.
Right.
Did the president, did the administration get everything they wanted in that bill?
Well, they got what they wanted now in the way of money in order to fight this war, but that's only one of their money problems. I don't think the president is in very good shape with his budget, at least in the Senate, and the vast tax cut that he wanted to give. I think the real worry is that the latest unemployment figures indicate that in 2 years of the Bush administration, we have lost, the country has lost 2.1 million jobs. And there always is that fear of having to repeat what his father did, was to be a great war hero, come out and win the war, and after the war was over and Johnny came marching home again, to then wonder and say, how's the economy doing? Not so well, with the result that the first President Bush lost his election.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.